The Detroit Pistons lose another close game to another good team in the Cleveland Cavaliers, but you continue to see this team play extremely well, and you continue to see some key contributors continue to play really well this season in the absence of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Isaiah Stewart. I want to talk about all that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Use promo code Locked On. So I went to today's game, or when I'm recording this today, probably be yesterday for a lot of you guys listening, on Sunday's game, there you go, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was a fun game to be at. This is a really good game. I thought the Detroit Pistons played. They were in the control of this game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, I feel like, for the majority of this game. But then the final 3.5 minutes of the game, they kind of fell apart. Cleveland was able to pull away and get the victory. But despite that, man, the Pistons were without Bojan in this game after the injury he has sustained before. They're also still without Cade Cunningham, still without Jaden Ivey, still without Isaiah Stewart. And despite that, this team came out and really controlled the game for the majority of the time and played really well, played really good basketball, probably played their best opening quarter of the season against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are third in the Eastern Conference, a team with Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and Donovan Mitchell. I know that Jared Allen wasn't healthy, wasn't able to play in this game. If he plays, I'm sure it probably is a little bit of a different story. But nonetheless, that's still a really good team over there. And they held Darius Garland to 4 of 19 shooting. They held Donovan Mitchell to 9 of 23 shooting. Killian Hayes and Isaiah Livers did an absolutely fantastic job on both the Cleveland Cavaliers guards. They played exceptional defense on these dudes. And if it wasn't for them getting to the free throw line a combined 25 times, you're looking at both these guys scoring under 20 points this game and shooting terrible from the field. So I thought the Pistons, again, they lost this game, but this is another game. Going back about 2 weeks now, a week and a half, ever since the Western road trip, continuing on to this game, this is a team that is playing out with the majority of their guys. Their top, however you want to say, four of their top six guys, whatever you want to do it. They're main rotation players, and they're coming out and they're punching up to the competition and playing really well and playing hard and playing for each other. So I want to kind of take that, the playing for each other part, I kind of want to segue that into talking about Killian Hayes, who had another great night for the Detroit Pistons, had 16 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, shot 7 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep, and 2 of these 3s were shot clock heaves, so I really look at it as 2 of 3 from deep. But either way, had a really nice game. Like I said, played exceptional defense on either one of the guards, whichever one he was matched up with that possession. He continues to play extremely well and continue to show that the last 12, 13 games are not a fluke. The first 10 games were terrible for him, but he pulled himself out of it, and he is playing really good basketball right now, and he has taken the opportunity of Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey being out and absolutely running with it, and I'm all here for it. I absolutely loved being in the stadium for it. It was amazing to see Killian go off. You guys know I'm a Killian guy, so seeing him play this well is really fun to see. I'm really happy for him. And I'm happy for all those Killian believers who held out, because he's playing really good basketball right now on both ends of the floor. It's amazing to see. But the reason why I wanted to shift off the point of playing for each other to Killian Hayes is to talk about how he had 8 assists tonight. Okay, he had 8 assists. The Detroit Pistons as a group had 14. So if you remove Killian Hayes, the team had 6 assists together as a team. Outside of Killian Hayes, they only had 6 assists. That's not good at all. And you saw that really come to fruition and a problem at the end of the game. And I feel like this is something that you're starting to see with this team in closing minutes in the late fourth quarter. You're starting to see a lot of it. Before, it's been Bojan. They give the ball to Bojan and just let him come down and play iso ball, and then come out and play pick and roll basketball and just look for his shot every single time. And now with Bojan out this game, they subbed in Alec Burks for the final 3 minutes and 32 seconds. And that's exactly what they did with Burks. They just, everything they did with Bojan, they just replaced it with Burks. And Dwayne Casey said it after the game. He felt like that at the end of the game, they went away from ball movement and playing together. He felt like they went back to iso ball. And I agree with them, but I feel like that some of that has to fall on him. For the majority of the game, they let Killian Hayes run the offense, and he, as a facilitator, he finds guys. He finds guys. He's not going to force a shot. He'll take the shot if it's there for him. He's playing much more aggressive. But at his core, he wants to find open guys, and the offense looks good when he's doing it. At the end of the game, I don't understand why. And again, this isn't me trying to say that, you know, this obviously changes when Cade or Ivy is healthy, obviously. But if they're not on the floor, or if Jaden Ivey's struggling, I know like the last few games they actually have been taking Jaden Ivey out every now and then. But my point is, I don't understand why at the end of games they go away from letting their point guard run their offense and continue to run the same things they've been running and find open guys, cutters to the basket, driving kicks, continue to move the ball around. Instead, at the end of the game, they just put one of their veterans in the game and just let him play iso ball basically and hope he can create advantage for somebody. It's quite annoying to see happen. And it's one of the main reasons why the Pistons have lost some of these games lately. Some of these close games to these really good opponents is because at the end of the games, whether it's Bojan recently or Burks tonight, they just go back to iso ball for one of their vets, and it's not good basketball. So outside of Killian Hayes, I'd love to see everyone else start to share the ball a little bit more, pass the ball around. Heck, three of those assists came from Rodney Magruder, who played 18 minutes. So if you take those guys away, you only have three assists for the entire team. Sadiq Bey had zero. Livers, zero. Bagley, zero. Alec Burks, zero. You can't have that. That part right there has to improve. It just has to. Guys have to start playing for each other, start looking for each other, and not just looking for their own shot. If once they get that down pat, you'll start to see them be even more competitive than they've been. But they have to start sharing the ball more down the stretch. They have to start trusting each other more down the stretch and stop pressing and looking to just score for themselves. Need to continue to do what they had been doing throughout the whole game and play together. And I think you'll start to see them win some of these closer games down the stretch if they start to do that. But yeah, man, Killian Hayes has been playing exceptional, bro. It's amazing to see it. I'm so happy about it. I love seeing it in person. It was a lot of fun, dude. So again, he continues to have a really good, what is it now, 12-game stretch now, 13, past 13 games. First 10 games, I know he was awful, but ever since then, he's been playing really well. And that's why I told you guys that you should go evaluate players in 20-game stretches. That's a really good way of looking at it. It's kind of like quarters. First 20, then the next 20, that's 40. Next 20, that's 60. Next 20, that's 80. Kind of look at it in quarters of the season. That's how you evaluate. First 10 games were terrible for him. Ever since, he's been playing really well. So you don't want to rush to too quickly of a judgment of any player. Kind of want to wait around the 20-minute mark. Game mark. That's just my little mark that I look at. So yeah, fun game for the Cleveland Cavaliers. For those of you guys, real quick, before we move into this next segment, I had a few of you guys come up to me at the game and say some really nice things about the podcast and the work I'd be doing. So for those of you guys, if you guys are listening to this podcast, I want to say thank you for coming up to me and saying the nice words. I really appreciate it. It's really fun to hear that. Nice to hear that. It makes me feel good. And I hope you guys enjoyed the game. All of you guys enjoyed the game, but especially you guys who came out and reached out to me at the game. Really fun seeing you guys. I'll be at a few games this year. I'll let you guys know when I'm at another one so more of you guys can reach out to me if you guys happen to be at a game. But yeah, I really appreciate all of you guys who did come up to me and say what's up and some kind words. I really appreciate it. When we come back, I want to talk about Sadiq Bey, who had his return tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers after missing the last few games. We want to talk about what we saw from him in this game. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car that you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, holiday, or even prom. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget or just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits into your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance, terms and conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget about those boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. I know I said I wanted to get into Sadiq Bey, and we will in this segment. But first, I just want to talk about some other things, some other team stats from this game. The Pistons shot 14 of 26 from the free throw line in this game. If they even hit, that's 53% as a team. That's absolutely horrific. If they just make 20 of those free throws, I think you're looking at a different game here. I think the Pistons probably walk away with a dub if they simply are able to hit 20 of 26 of their free throws. Game plays out differently. Things look more smooth. Guys have more confidence. Offense starts to play a little better. Like, I just think the free throws was really what kept this team down tonight. I actually thought they, again, like I said earlier, I thought they played really good defense. Evan Mobley had a really nice game, but on the two main guards, they play exceptional defense. That goes to Killian and Livers. And offensively, I feel like for the majority of the game, they played really good offense and found really good shots and forced fouls. They just weren't able to hit their foul or their free throws. Corey Joseph was 0-3. Hamidou Diallo damn near airballed 2 free throws. Jalen Duren was 1-2. Alec Burks was 2-3. Bagley was 6-8. Livers was 2-3. Sadiq was 2-3. You got to hit your free throws if you want to be a good team like this, and they weren't able to do that. And that's part of the reason why they lost this game. So keep an eye on that. I feel like a lot of these guys, Corey Joseph, you don't see him go 0-3 from the free throw line very often at all. Sadiq's shooting like 92% from the free throw line on the season, so it's rare that you see him miss one. So Hamidou Diallo going 1-4, he's not a very good free throw shooter, so I think that's something that may continue. But overall, I feel like a lot of these guys will revert back to the norm, and you won't see that very often. I don't think so, or at least hope not. But yeah, that definitely was a key reason why the Pistons lost this game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But anyways, let's talk about Sadiq Bey a little bit. So Sadiq returned tonight after missing the last few games with an ankle sprain. His first game back, he shot 6 of 15 from the floor, 1 of 5 from deep. He had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, no assists. And so there's two different takeaways I have from Sadiq's game. And it's basically the same takeaways you have from every other game with Sadiq. One, I want to give him credit. It didn't look like he was very tired after missing the last few games. He played 35 minutes, the most minutes on the team. So he looked like he was able to handle it. And overall, he looked healthy. I don't think any of the shots he had missed or anything has to do with his health or being rusty. He looked like he was good, which is good to see. It doesn't look like that ankle's still bothering him at all. It's really good to see. He looked completely fresh out there and ready to go. That's first, so I want to give credit to that. Secondly, his finishing around the rim, 100%, and we're going to keep talking about this. We've talked about it a lot, but I'm going to continue to point it out over and over, that his finishing around the basket has gotten dramatically better. It's kind of crazy to look at. Like, if you looked at Sadiq as in his rookie season and looked at how he finished around the rim, and you looked at how limited he was finishing around the rim with both hands, how he wasn't able to get off the ground at all, really. A lot of the shots around the rim just looked really bad. Like, rookie season, he was terrible, absolutely terrible at finishing around the rim. And now it's probably the strongest part of his game, which is, you give a ton of credit to him for that to be something, obviously, he's worked a ton on, and he's completely turned that around for himself. So you give him a ton of credit with that, because he really has gotten it like 100 times better as a finisher. It's crazy to see, honestly. I was thinking about it today while I was at the game. The very first point he scored was a really tough dribble drive. He was along the baseline. He gave, I think it was Okoro or actually, no, it was Mobley. He gave Mobley in between, back down, then a quick spin off, and then split the defenders and finished over Robin Lopez at the rim and one. That's a really tough finish by him. Not only the move, but the finish itself was just all around. This is a really hard possession for him, and he pulled it off. And that right there, as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, I remember when we used to watch Sadiq Bey his rookie season, and he was hitting the bottom of the rim on layups. Like, he couldn't do anything around the basket, and now it's the strongest part of his game. So he put a ton of work into that, and he deserves props for that. So that continues to be a bright spot for him. However, there are now some negatives that have continued to rise up all year this year, and really have been some things that continue to rise up throughout his career that I'm going to continue to bring up because I want to see him get better at this and continue to work at this and see progress here. With someone, if you're going to have the ball in his hands as much as Sadiq is, he has 15 shots tonight. The first thing that he needs to improve on, he can't have games when he has zero assists. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, especially if when everybody comes back and he goes back to being a sixth man. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Now, he's going to be a bucket getter. You don't need him to be some flashy playmaker, some amazing facilitator. But for anybody who's going to have the ball in his hands that much, you can't have zero assists. You need to be hovering around at least 3 to 4 assists. Because you're going to be getting to the basket a lot, which he does. He draws a lot of attention when he gets to the basket, which is really good. But he just has to make better decisions where he's there because he has open teammates that he can hit. And I'm telling you, it would make his field goal percentage look even better if he just eliminated some of the really bad shots he takes and just changed those bad shots into kickouts to open teammates, into dump-offs to open teammates. It would take this offense to another level. It would take his offense to another level and really just help his teammates. So that's something that he has to improve on. He can't keep doing that. He has to get better in that department. That's first. Second, he continues to struggle a little bit from deep. He shot 20% from deep tonight. He's shooting under 29% on the season from deep. And that's just, like I said, you go back to his rookie season with his finishing. If you go back to his rookie season with his three-point shooting, if I would have told you he'd be under 30% three-point shooter, he'd be under for a year and a half now, because it hasn't been nowhere near through the year. But let's say a year and a half, he's a 32% three-point shooter. You'd be insane. People are talking about him being the best, possibly becoming the best three-point shooter in Pistons history after his rookie season. And he's struggled with the outside shot this season so far and last season. And it's just something I don't feel like this is just looking at this season's kind of sample size, because we saw that last year with him where the first 20 games, you jumping to too many conclusions over the first 20 games. And then after, the last 56 games of the year, he played really well. You don't want to jump to too many conclusions on a guy early in the season. But I don't think this is an early in the season thing. This is going all the way to the beginning of last year, all the way to now. He's nowhere near the three-point shooter he was his rookie year. And I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how to explain that or what to look into about that. I don't know what's going on there. But he needs to get back to being a better outside shooter. I don't know if it's just another tough, really, really long, tough stretch. I don't know. But he can't keep shooting that poorly from deep. He has to be a better shooter. I think all of us believe he is a better shooter than this, and he has to prove that he is one. That's secondly. And thirdly, despite you missing, please just keep shooting the ball. He had 2 turnovers tonight from him not – both his turnovers tonight were from him passing up an open three and either traveling or turning the ball over immediately because he passed up an open three. He has to stop with the sidestepping threes. He has to take the open threes and take what the defense gives him. It'll make life easier on him. And if he doesn't hit the outside shot, then so be it. But you have to take that shot. You just have to. You can't pass those up. You're making life harder on yourself. So, again, it's Sadiq's in a tough spot, man. It's in a tough spot to evaluate Sadiq. Because like we talked about in the last episode, he's in like this awkward area where he hasn't been a spacer and he's not a good defender, but he's gotten much better at creating for himself around the rim, drawing free throws. And it's like, okay, where can we find a fit for that with what this team is? And is there a fit for someone like that getting 35, 30 plus minutes on a team? And I think, and again, this is something we talked about in the last episode. I don't want to bring the whole thing back up, but just kind of being there in person tonight kind of just brought that all to a forefront that I'm sure this is probably a question the front office is asking themselves is, okay, we like Sadiq. He's improved in this area, but if these other areas of what or who he is, how much should we be paying him in the offseason? Because his contract coming up soon, you got to start thinking about paying him. Is he a fit long-term? Because like I said, not just for Sadiq, you're looking at Stu, Killian, all these guys to see if they're going to be fits next year and moving forward with Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey now. So I just feel like Sadiq's really in this awkward place right now where he's probably going to get watched a little bit more closely than everyone else, especially with more of the trade rumors coming out about him, that those leaking out. So I don't know. Like I said, Sadiq's just in an awkward spot for me, man, because I really want to spend a lot of time recognizing his improved ability finishing around the rim, dude, because it really is such a far way he's came. Seriously, go back and watch him as a rookie. It's crazy to see how good of a finisher he is now with both hands, despite not being able to get off the ground. His touch has improved immensely around the rim. And the fact he's been able to draw free throws too, those are big things that I feel like we should be spending time on. But some of the other things that he's kind of taking big steps back on are big red flags. So it's like, it's tough to not talk about those. So I don't know. This is his first game back from injury, but I thought he looked really fresh. I just give him credit for looking really fresh, really good, played long minutes, played hard, and continued to showcase his improved ability around the rim. But at some point, we need to see him get back to being that outside shooter Sadiq. We need to see that sniper that was Sadiq Bey his rookie season that needs to come back. They need him. They need that spacer. They need that from him. So we're going to continue to watch that. And Sadiq, you know you can't have zero assists in a game. He knows that. He can't have zero assists in a game. They need him to play make a little bit more. Don't have to be a great playmaker, but they need a little bit from him. But outside of that, I thought, despite all those things, I thought he still played a fine game. And the 15 points were incredibly needed on a night where the Pistons were short a lot of guys. So I thought he played a fine game. But yeah, just keep watching those things that we pointed out. When we come back, Marvin Bagley had a really nice game tonight as well. Alec Burks, really nice game tonight for him. Want to talk about those guys, give those guys a little bit of credit in the final segment. But first, got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. This one is Prize Picks. So let's go ahead and take for example, today was Sunday. I went to the Pistons game. I want to take the over on Killian Hayes' points. I want to take the over on Sadiq Bey's points. But then also, I want to take the over, and let's say, a guy who's been playing much better in NFL this year or last few weeks, Jimmy G. Let's say I want to take the over in Jimmy G's passing yards too. But I want to find an app that you can combine both cross-sport entries and put them into just one singular entry. Well, you can do that with Prize Picks, and that's why it's my favorite daily fantasy app to play on. You pick 2 to 6 players to see if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, and you can win up 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. It offers safe and fast withdrawals. It's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the PrizePicks app or go to PrizePicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports today. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks gives you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks gives you $50. It's really that simple. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. Again, don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100 at PrizePicks.com. So, I want to thank you guys again for being Locked On Pistons, your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So, overall, like I said, this was a really good game by the Detroit Pistons. I thought Killian played a great game. I thought Sadiq played a fine game, especially for his first game back. Thought he played a fine game. And then also, Alec Burks and Marvin Bagley played really well. Marvin Bagley had 15 points at halftime. He finished the game with 19 points. He had 10 rebounds, 3 steals, and 1 block. Marvin Bagley, I feel like, now he's still not, I wouldn't say a good, he hasn't been a good defender, but he's been a much better defender than he usually has been the last few games. I thought he's been a lot more alert. He's been attentive. He's been active with his hands on that end of the floor. And that makes the world of difference for him. He was a +2 on the floor tonight, and it made it absolutely looked like it. The Pistons were rolling with him on the floor. He made multiple, all 3 of his steals were really eye-popping, I feel like. really jumped off as a really good plays by him. He even spread the floor tonight. He hit a three. He took two of them, and he made one. He drew some free throws, and we're starting to see something. We're starting to see an element of his game that I feel like he's trying to bring to the table, which I think could be valuable if he's able to actually do it. Now, he needs to be smart with it. He needs to make the right play and know when to pass and kick out when guys converge on him. But we're starting to see him grab defensive rebounds and try to go coast to coast himself, or go into it and start the offense himself by doing a little DHO or going all the way to the basket, drawing fouls. I believe at least two or four of his free throw attempts, two of the fouls were from him going coast to coast and drawing fouls, which, listen, I'm all for it. If you can do it efficiently and you're making the right play, you're not going down, forcing bad shots and just basically doing a turnover. Because if you take the rebound and you go down, go coast to coast off a defensive rebound and you do it fast, it's probably happening in like 8 seconds or less. And now the offense isn't even assembled. If the defense gets the rebound, now they're immediately going on a fast break, and you basically just committed a turnover because now your offense is having to run back on defense. But if he continues to do it how he did tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers and do it smartly and draw fouls and score off of it, I have no problem with it. I think it adds another dimension to the offense and adds another dimension to his offense. So it'd be incredibly interesting if this is something that Dwayne Casey continues to allow him to do, if he continues to do it more and more and more, and how he does doing it. But I thought he's been looking really good the last few games, Marvin Bagley has. Remember a few podcasts ago, I think like last week, we talked about how he hasn't been rebounding the ball very well. And for a team that's lacking size, and for a team that has been terrible at defensive rebounds and allowing second chance points, he needed to be much better on the glass. And tonight, another game, back-to-back games where he did a really good job on the glass. Tonight, he had 10 rebounds, 9 of them were defensive rebounds. So he was doing his best to stop second chance points. Now, the Cavs had 41 rebounds. The Pistons did get out rebounded 41-36, but that's not too bad. And I thought Marvin Bagley really did hold his own against Evan Mobley at the five. So I thought he did a really good job. I thought he had a really, really nice game for the Pistons. He wasn't as effective in the second half. But overall, I thought he played a really nice game, and I hope he continues to play like this, because this type of player, one who's not a complete goalpost on defense, he doesn't have to be a great defender. He doesn't have to be a good defender, but an active one, a tentative one, one who's paying attention, one who's focused on that end, all that kind of stuff, executing the game plan, that kind of thing, then that makes him an infinitely more valuable player, because that means you can keep him on the floor for longer stretches. And you don't have to worry about him having to outscore what he's giving up at the other end. He's looked really nice the last few games. I want to give him a ton of credit. I really liked what I've seen from Marvin Bagley. We even got alley-oop from Ronnie Magruder to Marvin Bagley. I don't think anyone expected Magruder to do it, but we haven't seen many lobs for bags this year, which is odd. Killian Hayes tried throwing him one in transition tonight late in the fourth quarter, but it got tipped away. But, you know, it's kind of crazy. I feel like Evan Mobley. Marvin Bagley's been open for quite a few lobs, I feel like, every game. I see him open. He's been calling for it. I see him talking to the guards after each time he feels like he had it, trying to tell them, hey, I'm there. Throw it up. They haven't been throwing it up as much. I wonder what's up with that. Do these guys just not have – is Cade only the real one that has chemistry with them? I don't know what's going on. Because those lobs have been open. They've been there. So he could be scoring even more if they would get – but either way, Marvin Bagley played a really, really nice game. Really cool with him and how he played. And – ended off with Alec Burks. Now, I don't like how Alec Burks ended this game. I don't know if that's his fault or if that's what Dwayne Casey wants with him with the ball in his hands late and just, hey, go make us a play and hopefully create advantage for somebody. I don't know who that's on, so I'm not a fan of how he played in the final 3.5 minutes. But otherwise, besides that, he's been playing extraordinary for the Pistons. He's another guy, again, who, by the way, he had zero assists as well, and especially for him because he's playing backup point guard a lot of the time recently. So even way more than Sadiq, who's just playing like a scoring forward role, Alec Burks is playing backup point guard majority of his minutes. He cannot have zero assists. Now, I like the fact that he's been aggressive going for his shots. He shot 53% from the field today on his way to 17 points, which is really efficient. However, again, if you're going to have the ball in your hands that much, you have to pass the ball. You have to create. And there was a few shots that he had, especially late. But even throughout the game, I felt like he was forcing the issue a little bit more much, trying to score, and he just had tunnel vision. So that has to improve. He can't be playing these backup point guard minutes kind of thing and having zero assists. That can't happen. But overall, since he came back, another good game from against the Cavs, but since he's come back, he's been a massive addition to this team of another guy who can score with the ball in his hands, a guy who spaces the floor, knows how to draw fouls, and knows how to keep the offense at a certain level when certain guys come out. Before he was playing, when certain guys would come out, the offense would just it would be terrible. It would just deflate because no one could create for themselves and put a lot of pressure on guys. Alec Burks has come in. He's been scoring efficiently, and he's taken a lot of that pressure off of guys, and he's one of the main reasons why the Pistons have been staying afloat against some of these really good teams despite missing some of their top guys. So Alec Burks, yes, he has some things I'd like to see him do better, but overall he's been playing fantastic for the Pistons, and he's a major reason why this team has been playing well over the past week and a half, 2 weeks now. So we want to give him even more props for how he played against the Cavs tonight. So overall, really nice game for the Pistons. They lost, but again, missing those four guys and Killian Hayes playing this well, Marvin Bagley continuing to play well, Alec Burks continuing to be that steady vet, all that stuff, and that being a major reason why they're in a game against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are third in the East, that's a major game. That's a fun game to watch, and I think all fans are starting to see this team get better and better and better and play more together as the games come on. And I'm really interested to see how this team looks when I don't know if Cade's ever coming back this year, but when Ivy comes back, when Stu comes back, and Boyan, when all those guys are back, I'm really interested to see, do they still continue to play with more ball movement, or do you start to see this offense go back to being how it was before when it was stagnated a lot and not allowed swinging the ball side to side? I'm interested to see that, but until then, man, I think the Pistons have been playing really well. I'm really happy with what I've seen each game. I've had a lot of fun watching, a ton of fun. I hope you guys have too. But that's all I've got for you guys today. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Thank you for making us your first listen of every single day. Free and available on all your podcast platforms. Head to the YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And until the next podcast, I'll see you guys later. I hope you guys enjoy the game. We'll see you on the next podcast. Go Pistons. Stay safe. And peace out.